Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I've entitled Observing All Things. And this is based on Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, where Jesus told us to teach the people who came to Him to observe all things that He had commanded us. And I'm specifically making application to social, moral issues in our society today. And I know that this is offensive to a lot of people. A lot of people think you ought to just stick to preaching on the Bible and on religious stuff. The Bible has things to say about every single area of our life. This is the owner's manual, and it doesn't just cover about how to get to your final destination. It tells you everything about every step along the way. And so what I want to begin to do today is to begin to start sharing with you what the Scripture has to say about abortion. And this is a hot issue, and I know that there's people that will take offense. I saw an ad recently on television, and it was promoting a person running for public office, and it was saying that he had voted so that women could continue to have abortion. He had been against the pro-life movement. And the way that the ads were, it was like he respects women. His opponent has actually come out with things to abolish abortion, and this is disrespectful and mean and hurtful, and it was just these terrible things, the way it was presented. Did you know you could flip that coin over, and it just depends whether you're talking about the woman or whether you're talking about the baby. How disrespectful is it to all of the female babies that are being aborted and all of these things? You know, there has been, since the Roe versus Wade decision, the statistics vary somewhat. Because, for instance, one thing like New York and California aren't required to report all of the abortions. So it isn't completely reported, but there has been at least 53 million abortions since Roe versus Wade. And I tell you, that is just a devastating statistic. And people who are pro-abortion will sit here and talk about, well, what about the freedom of the woman? What about her rights and all of this stuff? Nobody has the rights to kill another person. And immediately they would take offense at that and say, that's not a person. It's just a fetus. It's just a hunk of flesh. It's not a person until it's viable outside of the womb. That is not what the Word teaches. And again, I know that I'm talking to people who what I'm saying is very offensive to you because you've adopted a mindset not based on Scripture, not even consulting Scripture. It's what you think. And here I am countering some of these things. Let me show you some things that the Word of God has to say about life in the womb. Here in Psalms chapter 139, in verse 14, it says, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Let me read this same passage to you out of the NIV Bible. It's the same thing, but it's in a little bit more modern words. Psalms 139, verse 14 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. This is portraying God knitting us together in our mother's womb, seeing our unformed body. This is talking about before we are born, before we come forth out of the womb. And all of the days were ordained for us before they even came to be. Now, what this is doing, it is putting life and a relationship with God where God is involved in the development of that child long before that child comes forth out of the mother's womb and is a viable human being on their own. You will often hear pro-abortionists say that, you know, they aren't really human until they can live outside of the womb. And so they put all of it on the viability of the baby. And if it's not, you know, if it's not old enough to live outside of the womb, then they say that it's not really human until it can exist outside of the womb. But even when a child is born at a full 9 months of pregnancy, did you know that that baby can't live outside of that womb without protection and without nurture and without care? I mean, it is years before a child is developed enough to be able to feed itself, take care of itself, and do all of the things that need to happen. That whole argument is it just doesn't carry water. It is not what the Scriptures teach. This shows, these verses in Psalms 139 show God being involved in our substance before we ever came forth out of the womb. Look at this in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. The Lord told Jeremiah, He says, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." So this is saying that God knew Jeremiah when he was still in his mother's womb. God knew him. And this isn't say that he just knew about him. He said, "I knew you, I formed you, and before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations." God had a purpose and a plan for Jeremiah's life before he was ever born outside of the womb. This shows you that God had a purpose, a plan for this, that that child was a human being long before it existed outside of the womb. Here's another verse that goes along with it, Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood," etc. This is the Apostle Paul talking, and he said that God separated him from his mother's womb and called him by His grace into the gospel. So here again, these are three different instances that I've given you where God is infinitely, intimately involved with a child in the mother's womb. For people today to promote abortion, they have to discount all of these kind of things. They have to discredit this human being as being nothing but a hunk of flesh. And that's the reason that they love to use this term, the fetus. And I know that that's Greek or Latin or something. I've been told, you know, don't write in and try and correct me. It's not important. The point I'm making is they won't use the words baby, child, because they wouldn't want to think of killing a child. But they like to somehow or another degrade this to where it's not human, to where it's not alive. It's just a hunk of flesh. It's a part of the woman's body, and therefore that woman has control over her body. That is not true. That child has a separate DNA, many times has a separate blood type, and it is a separate human being. You can see that by these scriptures that God has wrought this curiously in the mother's womb, that He knew that person. He ordained all of their days before they were ever delivered outside of the womb. Before Jeremiah was ever separate from the womb, he had already been called and sanctified to be a prophet. The same thing was true of the Apostle Paul. So God's will and purpose for us is established in the mother's womb. God knows us, has a relationship. He's intimately, closely involved with the child. And to downgrade and downplay this to where it's just a hunk of flesh is not what the Word of God says. I tell you, that really gets on my nerves that people do that. And I know some people think that I'm just, they will come out and say, "You're angry and you're bitter and you're trying to be mean-spirited. You don't care about the woman." Well, what about the child? This really boils down to, is this just a part of the woman's body? Does the woman have the freedom to do what she wants to do with her own body? And that is not a viable alternative, because these scriptures show you it is a separate human being. There are physical things today that show that a child is a separate human being. You know, I helped start the pregnancy center here in Colorado Springs, and it's been very successful. And they've branched out and started other pregnancy centers. And we've got a newspaper ad or an article that written about that it decreased the abortion rate in El Paso County here locally in Colorado Springs by one half. In the state, it decreased the abortions by one third. And I've seen statistics that the abortion rate in the United States has actually been going down. You know, these are old stats here, but in 1990, there was 1.429 million abortions in the United States. In 2005, it had dropped to 839,000. So that's nearly half of what it used to be. There's multiple factors for that, but I know one of the factors here locally is the fact that we have a pregnancy center and that we have started countering this and putting out the truth and telling people the truth. The truth is that abortion is not just you doing what you want to with your own body. You are killing a separate human being, a person that was created in the image of God that is alive and viable. You know, back when the Roe versus Wade decision was made and they legalized abortion, they brought in scientific people and they asked them, you know, is this a child or is this just a part of the mother's body? And of course, back then, nobody had ever challenged the notion. I mean, for thousands and thousands of years, everybody knew that when a woman got pregnant, that that was not just her, that she had another life in her. And so because it had never really been challenged, there wasn't much research done on it. And in the absence of definitive scientific proof, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that that was not a viable human being until it could exist outside of the womb. And so they ruled that that was, you know, that the woman had a right over her body, and they legalized this abortion. Since that time, and since the terrible tragedy of so many millions and millions of people being murdered, they have done a lot of research. And one of the films that I've seen is called The Silent Scream. And it literally shows a child being aborted and the terrible things that are done. And you can see through ultrasound, you can see this child just recoiling in pain and screaming and crying as its life is snuffed out. They didn't have that back when they legalized Roe versus Wade, but they do now. And I'm telling you that I'm saying this based on these scriptures. There's more that I'm going to share right here. But I'm telling you that that child from the moment of conception is a human being. It may not be able to exist outside of the womb, but a child that's born can't exist without care either, unless you take care of it. It is a child. And these scriptures point to that, that the Lord has made us, and we are a viable human being from the moment of conception. Here is another really powerful truth about all of this. In Luke, it talks about that John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. That's Luke chapter 1, verse 15. Let me read this to you in the Amplified. It says, "For he will be great and distinguished in the sight of the Lord, and he must drink no wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, even in and from his mother's womb." Now that is really significant the way that it said. It said he would be filled even in and from his mother's womb. Now this was fulfilled in Luke chapter 1, verse 41. And look at this. It says, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." Later it says in Luke 1:44, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." So here's a couple of things. It says that John the Baptist, who this was 6 months into the pregnancy, so 3 months before John the Baptist was born and delivered, 3 months before that, he leapt for joy. You will often hear people say it's just a hunk of tissue. A hunk of tissue doesn't have emotions. it doesn't have joy. John the Baptist, 6 months into this pregnancy, leapt for joy when he heard the voice of Mary, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Going back again to that prophecy about John the Baptist, in the Amplified it says that he would be controlled by the Holy Spirit even in and from his mother's womb, and that she was filled with the Holy Ghost, Luke 1:41, and that's when this prophecy about John the Baptist being filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit even in his mother's womb, that's when it came to pass. So again, let me make this point. God does not just fill a hunk of tissue. He doesn't just fill a fetus with His Holy Spirit. John the Baptist was a person who was filled with the Holy Spirit 6 months into the pregnancy. Now, if the Word of God means anything to you, which I'm aware that I'm talking to some people that you don't honor the Word of God, but if you honor the Word of God, if you claim to be a disciple, even if you are approaching, trying to become a disciple and observe all of the things that God has commanded us, how can you get around these Scriptures? Well, people come back and say, but, you know, the child, they may not be born into a good home. They may be born into poverty, and so I'm just sparing them all of this. If you would stop and think about this, you're saying that because of some disadvantage, because they may not live on the right side of the tracks, that it's worth killing a child and keeping from bringing them into this world? Man, that's terrible. That is barbaric. You talk about mean-spirited. You talk about somebody who's got a bad attitude. The people that are promoting abortion because that child, it's inconvenient for the parents to have this child. Let me share some other stats with you. Here are reasons why people have abortions. And this is from Lawrence Finer, wrote a book, Reasons U.S. Women Have Abortions, Quantitative and Qualitative Perspectives, Perspectives on Sexual and Reproductive Health, Volume 37, Number 3, September 2005, page 110. And here's the stats as of 2005 as to why women had abortions. The number one reason, 25% feel they were unready for the child and responsibility. You know, I don't doubt that there are people who get pregnant and they are unready for it. I can guarantee you when we had our children, my wife and I both felt unready. I don't know that anybody feels qualified to be a parent. And so I can understand that that's a bad situation, but the way you deal with it isn't to kill the child. That's not the way you deal with feeling unprepared. 25% of all women who get an abortion say that it's because they don't feel ready for the responsibility. 23% feel that they can't afford the baby. Which again, is that justification for killing the child? That is not a justification. The next largest percent, 19%, has all the children that they want and they have other family responsibilities. So it's inconvenient. Did you know that these first three things right here amount to, I think it's 67% of all women who get an abortion do it for matters of just convenience? And you could actually add to that the next group, 8% say that they get abortions because of relationship problems. They're a single mother. Again, that's not of a justification for getting an abortion. The next group, 7%, feel that she isn't mature enough, which to me closely resembles not being ready for the responsibility, but that was a separate category. The 4% say that it interferes with their education and their career plans. In other words, it's just inconvenient. It's going to cramp their style, and so they want to kill a child. There's 1% who get an abortion because parents or other people want them aborted. There are less than 1% of all abortions are done because of rape or incest. Even in the case of rape or incest, that child, it may be terrible what was done to the woman, but the child didn't do anything wrong. And that is a viable human life who has huge potential. And I still think it's wrong to kill the child and punish the child because of what somebody else has done. And regardless of what kind of hardship it brings, you just don't have the right to take the life of a human being unless they have murdered or done something that is hurting society and it has to be dealt with. But a child is innocent, and I don't believe you should even be aborting children even for the cause of rape or incest. But just putting that aside, that's less than 1%. The other 99% are basically all based on it's just not what they want. And I'm telling you, that is not a justification for killing a human being. And that's what a child is. I've used these scriptures, and again, if the Bible means anything to you, it shows that God specifically created us in our mother's womb, already had all of our days ordained and written out in a book before we ever were physically born. He called Jeremiah, He called Paul, and separated them unto the ministry from their mother's womb. And then we use the prophecy about John the Baptist, how he would be controlled by and filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. And it came to pass that he heard the voice of Mary. He leapt for joy in the womb and then was filled with the Holy Spirit. God did not just fill a fetus, a hunk of flesh, with the Holy Spirit. This was a viable human being. I tell you, if you believe the Bible, this ought to influence your opinion. And I know people saying all of these things about, well, what about the finances? What about the child? I've got an example of a couple, the Trovers, who God spoke to them and told them that they needed to have this child. They conceived, and yet when they went for the prenatal checkups and stuff, it turned out that the child had, there's 21 markers for Down syndrome, and this child had 19 of those markers. The person that was checking them said it was the worst case they had ever seen. And many people just would abort right there. Matter of fact, the doctors tried to force her and encourage her to get an abortion. But they recognized that this was a live, viable human being, that they didn't have the right to kill the child just because it wasn't what they wanted. And people will try and twist that to say, oh, well, it's because of compassion for them. What right do you have to say that a person with Down syndrome, that their life isn't worth living and that somehow or another you degrade them? Boy, that is mean-spirited. That's terrible. Anyway, they believed God and their child was born perfectly healthy. But I'm telling you, the Bible teaches that abortion is murder. And there is judgment that came upon people for doing things like this. And so I'm sharing these things with you in love. I'm trying to tell you what the Word says. But if you truly believe the Word of God, you would have to come down on the side that abortion is murder and we ought to be pro-life instead of pro-death. I pray that you'll listen to our announcer. He's going to give you some information about how you can get this whole series that I've been doing for weeks entitled Observing All Things.
Throughout his teaching, Observing All Things, Andrew mentions many statistics and scriptures with regard to homosexuality, abortion, and creation versus evolution. These references have been compiled in the Observing All Things booklet. If you'd like a free copy of this valuable resource, go to awmi.net, click on today's TV offer, and request it today. You can also receive a free copy of this booklet when you order the Observing All Things teaching series on either CD or DVD. Each is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is titled Applying Discipleship to Abortion. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Lessons from David for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
She said that the cheekbones were flattened. The nose bone was not visible at all. The pinky fingers on both hands, the third digit was missing from the pinky. There were calcium deposits in the baby's heart. And she said, I've never seen a baby show this many signs on an ultrasound and not be born without Down syndrome.
When the doctor left the room, I stood up and immediately canceled this diagnosis. This was Satan trying to attack what God had as a plan for our family, and I canceled the diagnosis immediately.
For more information, log on to awmi.net. Look to the left and click on Ministry News. Then click on Today's TV News Story. Find out what's happening with the World Changers at Andrew Womack Ministries and Caris Bible College today. For over 25 years, Andrew Womack has been involved with and supported our Colorado Springs Pregnancy Center and has seen the lives of many thousands of babies spared. Presently an outreach of Life Network, the Pregnancy Center offers several valuable services, ranging from free pregnancy tests to personal counseling, classes covering pregnancy to infant care, and supplies spanning from maternity wear to diapers and baby clothing. They also offer post-abortion counseling, which ministers to women who have already experienced the heartache of abortion. Andrew has since retired from the board of directors, but continues to support the Colorado Springs Pregnancy Centers, which now have two offices in Colorado Springs, as well as a mobile pregnancy center. If you'd like more information, please visit elifenetwork.com or cspregnancycenter.com.
The same anointing that heals a headache heals cancer. And it doesn't take any more anointing of God to heal one thing than another.
Because the healer is living on the inside of you. You don't have a faith problem. Your faith isn't broken. You have perfect faith.
Because if the Lord has already supplied the healing for us, then how do we receive what God has already done?
Healing is here. Sickness can't